The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, Jonathan Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of April. And April's a great month because April means it's time for Sci-Fi on the Rock number 9. April 24th to April 26th, 2015, Sci-Fi on the Rock will be at the Holiday Inn St. John's. And let me tell you, star-studded list, maybe B celebrities, maybe C celebrities, maybe D celebrities, whatever. A little something there for everybody. We got Linda Boyd from Republic of Doyle. She's actually really well known here, and I'm really, really glad she's going to be there. We also got Peter Williams. Now, he's been on a bunch of stuff, man, like everything, really. Fallen, Stargate. I think he was on the Twilight Zone, too, at one point, so that's pretty cool. So he's going to be an interesting guest. Fraser Hines, of course, is the Doctor's little buddy. I'll leave it at that. Adam Smith. Fat Apollo. Fat Apollo's making an appearance. I actually caught Fat Apollo already at AtlantaCon back in September. Man, oh man, just a really fun guy to listen to. And of course, tonight, my guest, who will also be appearing at Sci-Fi on the Rock, is Kevin St. Pierre. And let's just say that he's the best at what he does. Kevin St. Pierre is actually a cosplayer who's coming to Sci-Fi on the Rock 9. And he's best known for his impersonation of Wolverine. I have Wolverine on my podcast tonight. You hear that out there? Who can honestly say they have Wolverine on their podcast? I mean, come on. That's an awesome guest. Anyways, I'm really excited to bring him later in the show. I myself, of course, will also be appearing at Sci-Fi on the Rock. I will be hosting 3 panels this year. On Friday, I will be part of the Ambassador Series for a podcasting discussion. For obvious reasons, since you're listening to my podcast right now, I will be hosting Open Mic Ghost Stories. Come tell your own ghost story. That's going to be a lot of fun. And on Sunday, I am hosting a live Spirit Box session. Yeah, man, that's going to be really cool. But you see, it's not going to be the regular Spirit Box you guys see on TV. Oh, no, no, no. This will be of my own design and invention. I'm bringing it to Sci-Fi and the Rock. Let me just say that it's going to definitely turn a few heads, and it will come be a part of that on Sunday. Lots of fun going to be happening from April 24th to April 26th, 2015. Come, have a great time. It's going to be awesome. Before you do that, of course, I do have to say a word of thanks to somebody. And that thank you has to go out to my good friend, Claude. He's at www.gonzomedia.ca. And this guy is a wonderful web designer. He's got everything you're ever looking for a website, man. He took my www.lifeafterdeathsociety.com and made it just so much more easier to use and nicer to look at. He just completely took what was already there and made it his own. And I'm telling you right now, he did a wonderful job updating that site. And I don't want to thank him personally right now. Claude, thanks so much for your help. If you guys need help with a website, and especially if you're in paranormal, man, this guy's the man. Like, he's going to take what you want done. He's going to do it right, and he's going to do it for a fair price. And I mean really fair, because you know what? I do not take donations for my podcast. I don't do it. So there you have it. We're on a shoestring budget. Thanks to people like Claude, I can keep doing what I do. So thank you, Claude. Once again, check him out, guys, at www.gonzomedia. That's GONZOmedia.ca. You won't be sorry. He takes care of a lot of stuff. Okay? A lot of stuff. Pricing and packages, everything there is all ready to go. And I'm hoping that you'll jump on there and at least give him some traffic and thank him so much. And don't forget, of course, to check out his work at www.lifeafterdeathsociety.com. newfieevp.com, where you can book your own paranormal investigation with myself or have me speak at conventions or check out my book and check out the podcast. It's all there, man. Great website. Thanks again, Claude. And now on to the paranormal news. Well, you know, I just can't help but jump right into a ghost story with you guys. It gotta happen. And apparently, there is a woman who has filmed poltergeist activity in her home. Her name is Donna Aries, and she claims that she's been plagued by paranormal experiences for more than 5 years. The 33-year-old and her family have been forced to move house multiple times since the activity began back in 2009. Now, in an attempt to document and better understand the phenomena, she started recording each incident and posting the videos online. Examples include unexplained knocking sounds, household objects moving around by themselves, and the appearance of mysterious scratch marks on the wall at night. I believe this is happening because death has followed me. I have strong suspicions the spirit could be my brother, who died when I was younger, she said. Probably the worst time was when I was pinned to the bed. I'll never forget it. It was very traumatic. Now, the videos that she's been uploading to YouTube, you know, they show various physical disturbances, such as objects moving on their own, have attracted a great deal of skepticism from internet users, with many arguing that the footage has been faked using hidden cables and other tricks. Now, it's hard to get the footage, as sometimes the paranormal activity is too quick to film, but I think I've done well to catch what I have with a basic camera phone, she said. One of the videos, which shows a coin moving inside a jar, can be seen, and let me tell you, it's pretty strange. But once again, guys, I think we might have a big dose of Hollywood. And the reason why I'm calling BS on this story, here it comes. What's moving inside the jar? It's a coin. What's a coin made out of? A certain type of metal. What does metal do? It moves when there's a magnet underneath the table. Case closed. But, I do believe in paranormal activity. I do believe in paranormal phenomena. And I do believe poltergeist activity is possible. It's just usually not on YouTube 25 times in the same week. Anyway, I wonder where all those unexplained phenomena are coming from. You know, maybe it's a parallel universe. Well, maybe we're getting a little closer to finding that. The Large Hadron Collider could find parallel universes. CERN's Atmosmasher is about to resume operations in an attempt to detect miniature black holes. If it succeeds to open up a whole new chapter in particle physics, which could help to explain the nature of dark matter and prove the existence of parallel universes. Just as many parallel sheets of paper, which are two-dimensional objects, can exist in a third dimension, parallel universes can also exist in higher dimensions, said scientist Mir Fazel. Normally, when people think of multiverse, they think the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, where every possibility is actualized. That is not what we mean by parallel universes. What we mean is real universes in extra dimensions of space. So basically what they're trying to say is that, well, there could be another dimension of space riding alongside ours, and oh my God, this is exactly what me and David Roundtree talked about on our last podcast, word for word, and, you know, it just goes to show you how credible that guy is. One thing I don't really get, though, is it says here in the article I'm actually reading that the elusive Higgs boson was found? That never happened back in 2012, man. They found traces of it, but they couldn't prove that it was there. Well, here's one for you. At least two or three times a month, I'm called the dodo. But has a live dodo been caught on camera? A video has appeared online showing what looks like a dodo in trail camera footage from Costa Rica. The demise of the dodo is so well known that the species has become synonymous with the very concept of extinction. Once native to the island of Mauritius, the dodo was utterly fearless of humans when the first explorers arrived there, making them an easy target for sailors. The last confirmed sighting of a live dodo occurred over 350 years ago, and for a while, many people didn't even believe that the species had ever existed at all. This month, however, a strange video appeared on the internet, which was allegedly filmed from a trail camera in the jungles of Costa Rica. The recording appears to have been triggered by a lizard in the foreground, but after a few seconds, a familiar bird can be seen foraging in the background. As if to confirm its identity, the bird walks right across the camera just before the footage ends. Could this be real evidence of a live dodo, or is the video simply a very clever hoax? Man, if I'm going to hoax something, I'm going to hoax Bigfoot. I'm going to hoax a UFO. I'm going to hoax, God, even I say it, a ghost, okay? I'm going to hoax that. If I'm going to hoax anything at all, why the heck would I hoax a dodo? It makes no sense. But it also does something really cool. It adds the dodo to a list I like to call cryptids anonymous of animals that could actually be out there, but we're not really sure, but we have proven they existed before. Pretty cool. So next time someone calls you a dodo, say, what part of Costa Rica am I from then? Night vision camera caught that dodo, but pretty soon we might not need the cameras at all. Because scientists have developed night vision eye drops. How cool is this? Every ghost hunter out there listening to my show right now have literally perked their little ears up. A group of California researchers have found a way to enhance a person's ability to see in the dark. The independent research group, Science for the Masses, decided to take a special chemical used to treat night blindness and adapt it to enhance the latent vision of biochemist Gabriel Lucena, who had no inherent problems with his eyesight. Now, the treatment, which was made using light application molecule CE6, was applied to each eye as a thin black liquid solution and left for an hour with both eyes covered with a black lens to protect them from the light until testing could begin. Once an appropriate amount of time had elapsed, Lucena was taken out into the woods in the dark alongside with four people who hadn't been given the eye drops as a control. Each of them was spaced 50 meters apart and then asked to identify as many of their fellow volunteers as possible. The result of the experiment revealed that Lucena had been able to identify everyone with 100% accuracy, while the other volunteers could only identify one-third of those around them. The enhanced vision seemed to wear off after one day with no noticeable side effects. Can you imagine the practicality of this? I think of people who are in the dark all the time. All the time. Okay, who could really, really benefit this? Not just paranormal investigators, but think of scientists who have to do, I could think of a lot of things that maybe have to do in a lab that have to be done in the dark. Think of all the people who are out, you know, rummaging around the woods who get lost. Well, now they can actually see where they're going at night. I mean, this might be a real lifesaver for people who are fighting wars too. Man, oh man, like, I know that this has military use, which is why I believe the story's legit. What I'm going to say is this. I would love to have, a little bottle of these eye drops because, dude, I totally hate stubbing my toe against the dresser every night when I get up to use the bathroom. Here's looking at you, kid, even though it's in the dark. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got night vision. We've got dodos. We've got parallel universes. Man, oh, man. All these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast. My guest tonight is a plumber by trade and a Marvel superhero at heart. He entered the world of cosplay back in 2010 and will be appearing at Sci-Fi and the Rock this April 24th to 26th at the Holiday Inn St. John's. Now, before I introduce his name and tell you who he is, I just got to tell you that I actually caught a glimpse of this guy. And when I seen this guy in person, I actually got a little misty-eyed. I'm not going to lie. I felt a heavy feeling in my chest looking at him. And all those memories of sitting in front of the TV as a child watching that iconic X-Men TV show just flooded back in my mind watching that cartoon. This man to me is Wolverine. He's got the height, he's got the looks, he's got the wicked costumes to prove it. And tonight it is my antimantium coated pleasure to welcome to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, Mr. Kevin St. Pierre. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the podcast. As you know, it's all about the world of the esoterica, and I can't think of anybody who's on the fringe more than somebody who plays the Wolverine. I have the Wolverine on my podcast tonight, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, I know your appearance at Sci-Fi and the Rock is actually, is it your first time appearing at Sci-Fi and the Rock? I believe it is, isn't it, Kevin?
It is, yep. No, it'd be my second time on the Rock, but my first time appearing in St. John in Sci-Fi.
Awesome, dude. And I can see it right now. A lot of people are going to want to get a picture with Wolverine because you got to see this guy in person. Man, he's like Wolverine. He looks more like Wolverine than Hugh Jackman. Okay? Hugh Jackman looks like an English guy with funny looking hair. This guy actually looks like the old school cigar smoking Wolverine who's all gritty, and I love that. I love that a lot. Kevin, I got to ask my first question for you. Of course, I'm sure you've heard this a lot of time. Like, to me, when I think cosplay, I think of characters, and I also think of nostalgia. Like I mentioned earlier, just the first time I saw you, all I could hear in my freaking mind was old school Wolverine saying that iconic phrase on the old X-Men cartoon.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
That's the first thing I could hear. But what to you, Mr. St. Pierre, is cosplay all about?
To me, John, it's really about having fun, and I love to meet new people. I really do. I like to meet people that I've met prior to. I like seeing them again. The biggest thing for me, I think, is I like to see people happy. So when I'm at a con and I see people cosplaying, and it doesn't matter what their costume is or how good it is, or it's the smile on their faces. That's the be-all, end-all for me, and I think that's why I do it.
Awesome. You can imagine it's an interesting choice, you know. You know, the Wolverine is probably one of the weirdest characters actually in the Marvel universe. And you know, one of the things I love about the fact, besides the fact that he's, you know, Canadian, looks like me and you. One thing I love about Logan, we'll say, is the fact that he's just been around for so long. He's been around for, my God, since what, the '70s or something?
74. Yeah.
Wow, man, that's sick. And like my favorite Marvel character of all time is the Punisher. I've got him tattooed on my arm and everything. I love that guy. And one of the things I can say is that the Wolverine and Punisher always complement each other very, very well.
Yeah. You know what? I just finished reading a comic book with both of them in it and Ghost Rider, too.
Nice. Oh, God. Ghost Rider. Now, there's an even weirder character, but we don't want to burn up too much time. Okay, Kev, tell me about some of the conventions you've been to. You know, I know you've been to AtlanticCon, because I was at AtlanticCon while you were there. And yeah. You're going to be doing Sci-Fi on the Rock this April at the Holiday Inn in St. John's. But name some of the other conventions you've actually been to, so we can give them a little bit of a shout-out here.
Well, I'm a yearly attender at HalCon in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also hit, it's now defunct now, but it was called Harbor Convention, and that was down in St. John, New Brunswick.
Cool.
We do Capital Cosplay in Fredericton, and for the past, this will be the third year for the East Coast Comic Expo here in Moncton.
Cool, man.
So
it's good to see that you're getting around, and do you play only Wolverine is my next question. You know,
Well, no, just for the most part, it's Wolverine, but from time to time, I get lazy, and I don't want to go through all the trouble of being the Adamantium X-Men there, so I've done Alan from The Hangover.
Yeah.
Alan, and so that's basically really what I look like, to tell you the truth there. If you can see Zach Galifianakis, you know, that's me. I don't know how I'm able to transform into the Wolverine, but I'm able to do it. So the next one, last November, I did Dwal and the Dwarf from The Hobbit.
There you go. And for all my Lord of the Rings.
That was interesting stuff, yeah. Are you a Lord of the Rings fan, yeah?
Yeah, of all the Lord of the Rings fans out there, my wife is one of the biggest ones, so I'm sure she'll definitely love that.
Awesome.
And, I could imagine, my God, doing the circuit, you know, all over really the Maritimes and now Newfoundland as well. It's very customary, of course, to run into people who are famous or quasi-famous, you know. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of the people you've met in your travels who are, how should we say, on the other side of the fence, who are a little bit more well-known in the world of sci-fi?
The world of sci-fi, geez, good question there, really. Yeah, I've met a few famous cosplayers.
Yeah.
There was Axelrod, I guess, from AtlanticCon. He played the voices for the Power Rangers. I know I met him.
Yeah, he was Lord Zedd.
Lord Zedd, yeah.
I was wondering how he was doing, actually. He didn't seem too well at AtlanticCon, actually.
No, and then Jeff said something there. He went in for some surgery, and I haven't heard anything since then, so I'd have to contact Jeff Keeping to see how he's doing.
Hopefully Mr. Lordzett is doing well. And speaking of Jeff, I'll actually be partnering up with Jeff at Sci-Fi on the Rock as we do an ambassador panel for podcasting, which is going to be kind of
awesome.
Cool. I finally get to meet the Sunday Night Geek.
Yeah, the Sunday Night Geek. He's got a pretty good show as well, yeah.
Any other people you met in your travels that are quasi-semi-famous?
I met Richard Hatch, who was old school Apollo.
Cool.
Battlestar Galactica. And Vic Mignogna, who does a lot of voiceovers for cartoons, and he's got his own little Star Trek series on.
Cool.
He plays the old-time Kirk, basically, you know, from what they kind of imitate the 1967 version. So I met him. I met John Rhys Davies, not exactly from sci-fi, but he played Gimli in the Lord of the Rings.
And, oh, man. You met Gimli? Man, my wife's favorite character is Gimli. So
super nice guy. What a nice guy.
Yeah. I like to think he's probably around Wolverine's height, too, eh?
No, he's right. Well, Gimli maybe is, but John Rhys Davies is a giant of a man.
Really?
Huh. Well, yeah, he's 6'3", I think.
See, we're already learning today. We are learning a lot.
There you go.
Now, you picked Wolverine, though, as your main guy. And I can see why you would. I mean, come on. To me, Wolverine is everything you want to be when you're a teenager. He's pissed off. he's ripped to pieces. He's indestructible. Like, when I think of Wolverine, I think of my teenage angst with a mask. But I was kind of wondering, why did you choose the Wolverine character? Or maybe did the Wolverine character choose you?
I think that's more the proper term for it. I think it was really just sort of a victim of circumstance, really. We were, my buddy Scott that does Sabretooth with me at most cons, we were at the premiere to the new Star Trek movie back in 2006. And, was it 2009. And, people came in and they were advertising for Halcon. And we, you know, around here in the Maritimes, there wasn't that many opportunities to hit something up like that. And they were all dressed up in Star Trek gear. And, I love people in costume, really. You know, like I said at the beginning, it just makes me smile. They were having a good time. And I just turned to Scott and I said, you know what? Scott's, he's about 6 feet tall and I'm all a 5'4", so I said, Scott, I said, we should go. I said, it'd be a guy's weekend. We'll get a motel or whatever. And I said, I'll be Wolverine and you be Sabretooth.
We'll be mortal
and
enemies.
That's how it started.
The question for you, Kevin, is did you share a hotel room?
I did, actually. Yeah. Two beds. There's two beds.
So. That's good, because I'm always worried that, you know, Wolverine and Sabretooth might tear each other apart. You got to keep you guys apart.
He was good. No, he behaved himself that time.
Okay, good. Good. Bless his heart for not wanting to rip your head off.
Exactly, yeah.
What parts of the Wolverine character do you enjoy the most? You know, I know, my personally, I just love the way he talks.
I like the way he talks. I guess I don't know. I watch the cartoons sometimes and I'm like, what? Canadians don't talk like that. But, you know, that's the biggest thing. I guess, I don't know, that my favorite thing, I'm really mixed between the comic book character and the portrayal of, Jackman's portrayal of the movies, eh?
Yeah.
I've really got mixed feelings about both, and I don't know, for me as a cosplayer, I guess if I had never seen Jackman's portrayal in X-Men 1, I don't know if I would have ever had that idea to be Wolverine at a con.
There you go, right? Because, you know, realistically, by the time... Well, I don't know how old you are exactly, but I'm 31. So
I'm 40.
Wolverine, well, there you go. You were actually alive and well during his rise, really. Now, me, by the time I came along, Ninja Turtles had kicked butt, and comic books were kind of on the back shelf at this point.
Right, but, exactly.
It wasn't really until that 90s cartoon came on the Fox Network, man, when they had the Wolverine. They had Wolverine and Cyclops and Jean Grey. They had everybody in the show and even made up a few characters and threw them in there like Morph. And they threw it all in there. And I'm telling you, I believe that they really nailed the character really, really well on the cartoon.
Yep.
But there's one thing that was missing, and that was the mindless mayhem of Wolverine versus, say, the Hulk, which was always so much fun to watch too, right?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. One of my favorite stories is that one, is when Wolverine and Hulk meet.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, really, it was the first time I ever actually got into him. Because I was like, wow, this guy's giving the Hulk a run for his money. This is cool, man.
for a little while.
Yeah. Well, wasn't for long.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I was actually born a month before to the year that the Wolverine was actually introduced.
Well, there you go. It was made. Yeah. It was made in the stars. I'm a huge wrestling fan, former professional wrestler myself. I was born the year of the very first ever WrestleMania. So it's got to be a sign.
Very nice, very nice. I like wrestling as well.
Nice. Oh, well, this podcast is going to certainly get away from the paranormal. But don't worry, because it's still the land of esoterica. Okay, so right now there's a lot of comic book shows on TV. It's actually a resurgence, and thanks be to God, because, well, really, just like everything else in my life, I am going to thank Joss Whedon for this, because I think a lot of this is Joss Whedon's fault. When I think of amazing storylines, amazing characters with superpowers, I think, oh, I don't know, well, Firefly, Buffy, Angel. I think of all the things that he's had his hand in, and then he does the Avengers movie, which is just fantastic. But our man Wolfie is nowhere in sight.
That's a tough call. Fox doesn't want to play nice.
But I'm telling you, what would happen in your mind if Whedon got a hold of that storyline? Because as far as we know, in the last movies, have you seen the last X-Men movies that came out?
Yeah.
Well, as far as we know, me and you, Kev, as far as we know, they've rebooted the entire series. So,
well, from what I've heard, and I saw an advertisement for it at the movie theater, they said that Jackman was going to do the Wolverine for the next movie, Apocalypse.
Now, see, that is awesome.
I think so as well. I'm really mixed because I know for a fact that the Jackman character is really not a lot like what the comic book is.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that I don't know if it's the way that Fox has run the show type of thing. They haven't really developed any other characters much besides, you know, Charles Xavier, Beast, and Magneto, let's say.
That's right.
But people are really pissed off. Like, the hardcore comic book X-Men fan are really, really pissed off when it comes to that and how every movie turns into be a Wolverine movie, basically, is what they're saying. Even though I found, you know, First Class definitely wasn't, but I really did like the cameo.
Yeah, and that was probably the quickest $5 million he ever made.
Well, you know what? I'm sure he did that almost for free. I think he loves doing the character so much, you know.
You know what I heard? I actually heard that took 37 takes.
Really?
37 takes. We won't drop the F-bomb on our show, though. We try not to swear.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure they tried different things, too, and they just kind of went, you know what, we like that one.
You know, sometimes...
And I think that was the first F-bomb ever dropped in an X-Men movie, too, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think so, yeah.
We got to grow up a little bit with our X-Men characters as well.
I suppose, yeah. So I'm really digging the new cast, who they've said are going to take over, you know. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I don't know if, again, Jackman's going to be 45 or 46. And you've got all these young X-Men now, so they've really screwed up their timeline. They you know, the first three movies, you can just basically say they never took place.
That's right. They completely erased them. They completely erased them,
erased them, and then you look at, you know, you try to give Wolverine some kind of love interest with Jean Grey. Well, that's going to be really weird now because she's extremely young. So I hope they don't go that route. They won't legally. I don't think they can, but... I wish Joss Whedon had actually taken that franchise, you know, from the beginning. Joss is boss, I think. That's the best way to say it.
I'm telling you, of all the people I would love to have on the Paranormal Podcast, I would kill, absolutely kill, to even have an associate of Joss Whedon on this thing.
Yeah.
Because that guy is my hero. It definitely, when it comes to writing, oh god! And he's actually done comic. He's actually done a lot of comics as well too, the Buffy and Angel comics, eh?
And yeah, I didn't get into the Buffy stuff, but I mean, I purchased the Firefly stuff and also the Astonishing X-Men that he wrote.
Yep, and man, oh man, just done so really well. You know, you know, it's funny how fast we can chew up time in a podcast. Man, oh man, 20 minutes eaten already, just like that. But I mean, that's it.
That's the way cookie crumbles.
Well, maybe you're more friendly than the usual Wolverine we know.
Kevin, hey, well, I'm not Wolverine right now, yeah.
I like to think you can be at the turn of a hat, though. And,
maybe.
Well, I know one thing. I turned into the Punisher the other day when somebody cut me off at Pitts Memorial Drive. I almost shot the person. Now,
I'd love to do a Punisher cosplay.
Oh my god. I'd love to lose the 50 pounds I need to be a good-looking Punisher. Right now, if there was an old man Logan and a washed-up Punisher cosplay, I'm totally there.
We're there.
We're there. Now, in passing, Kevin, you did mention that you had a couple of ghostly tales to tell. And it seems how this is the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, and we love a good ghost story. We were hoping that you might be able to tell us what you've experienced, my friend. And I know this is completely has nothing to do with, you know, your cosplay. But, hey, man, you got to pay the Reaper here. It's the Paranormal Podcast from Newfoundland. I'd love to hear one of these ghostly tales you have for us.
All right. I've got two of them. One's a ghostly tale, and the other one borders on sort of religious phenomenon.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
So one's a good story, and the other one's an observation that I made. And, again, there's no explanation for it, but I'll tell the story, and you can make up your own mind from there.
I love it. He gave his own disclaimer, folks. Go ahead.
All right. I was probably, I'm going to say I was about 9 years old. And back in the day, I'm originally from Grand Falls, New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, we used to have what they called potato season. So they'd give us 2 weeks off from school in September. So anyway, my brother and one of my cousins was actually living at our place during potato season. Or I guess my brother was always living there, but my cousin was living there as well. So, but they weren't home for some odd reason. They were older than I was, so they were out, and I had to sleep on the couch upstairs in my brother's room. Anyway, I was trying to get to bed, and the couch wasn't really comfy, but, you know, I tossed and turned. Anyway, I got to go back a little bit and explain how it was made into my mother's house. You'd have to go up the steps, and it was an old house, so the ceilings weren't very high. So you'd go up the steps, and then you were in my bedroom. And then you had to go into an archway and go into my brother's bedroom. So in order for me to get to the steps, I'd have to go through my bedroom and then go down the steps. Anyway, I'm sleeping on the couch, and it's in the far corner of the room. I wish I could explain it to you, but it's sort of in a small alcove, because there was a makeshift closet there.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm trying to get to bed, trying to get to sleep, and I can't sleep. Tossed and turned, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you, this is a true story. I start hearing hard breathing, right? Uh-oh. Like somebody that was really, really hard, hot, not like a huff and puff, but they were just struggling to get the air to them, eh? And I'm gonna imitate the sound, and hopefully you can hear it well, and it transfers well, but the breathing was, you know, very. Very hard, you know, not as classy as Darth Vader, but very similar. So anyway, at that age, I used to, if I'd get scared, I'd stick my head underneath the covers, and I'd make a little hole so I could breathe, you know, the cool air coming in. But anyway, I put my head underneath, and I could still hear that breathing. But it sounded like it was coming on the other side of the wall where the stairwell was. And I thought, what the heck is going on? I put the covers over again, and I could still hear that breathing. That was nonstop, that breathing, by the way. That did not stop. So anyway, I don't know, that might have lasted maybe a minute, but the thing is I couldn't stay in bed any longer. I was freaking out. So my mother was sleeping downstairs. I got up from underneath the covers in a terror, panicked right out, and I still remember as I turned the corner of the archway, I held my hands up in front of my face as I was running down because I was afraid someone was going to get me. Anyway, there was nobody on the other side of the wall. I ran downstairs, jumped into my mother's bed, bawling my eyes out. It took her a good while to calm me down and find out what was going on. And I told her the story, and anyway, she told me to go back to bed. She brought me upstairs and put me back in bed, and everything was okay. Nothing ever happened again that night, but funny story is, about a week before that, my uncle had passed away from lung cancer.
Oh, no.
So, but the thing is, I only came to that realization, I'm telling you right now, maybe 5-10 years ago, that maybe, just maybe, my uncle was trying to message me, or he was, it was his way of telling me he had made it. You know what I mean? I don't know what was going on, but that's the connection I made there. So,
well, that's
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, Kevin, there's one thing I can tell you as a researcher myself and someone who's delved into the paranormal for many years. One thing I can tell you is that apparently it takes a tremendous amount of effort to make communication with our side from theirs. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is from what I gather from a lot of people. If it takes a lot of effort to make that communication, they're going to do it in a way that people definitely know it's them, letting them know that they're okay. Okay? This is from what I gather. The fact that your uncle was sick, okay, with lung cancer, I mean, to me, that just, if that's what you take from this experience, that's what you're supposed to take from this experience. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, me, I'm also a huge skeptic of the paranormal. But one thing I'll say to you is this. If you were a liar, you would have came up with something a lot better than just heavy breathing. So I do believe you 100%. By the way, I think I just shat my drawers.
It's a scary story. I mean,
it is.
And literally, I'm surprised I didn't shat mine when I turned the corner, because I'm telling you, I was terrified.
Of course. And, you know, there's two things. We deal with fear in two ways. We either become completely frozen and emotionless, or we start to giggle. That's how we actually deal with true fear. So there you go.
You never know.
But I do believe you said you had two ghost stories to tell.
I've got another one, and it's just, it's sort of a religious phenomenon. You can, like I said, I was sitting in my mother's house, and I was older then. I would have been probably 17, maybe. Well, let's know. I wasn't that old. Let's go about 15.
Okay.
And my mother had a great big picture of Jesus in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge picture. And that was more of his face, his facial features type of thing. And it had been painted, and it was a beautiful picture. So I was there sitting on the rocking chair just watching TV, and she was getting ready for bingo. And the door to the outside was behind the chair, sort of at an angle there, on the right-hand side. But the picture of Jesus was also on the right-hand side. So she was getting ready, and I was talking to her, and I looked at the picture of Jesus, and it caught my eye. He was wearing the crown of thorns. And when I looked at the picture, and I'm telling you, it happened so fast. When I looked at the picture, the blood started seeping from the crown of thorns, and he gave me some weird look, like it was just, the only thing I can relate it to is, have you ever seen Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves and...
Yes, I have. Yep.
Al Pacino?
Yes, I have.
You know, when he sees the visions and you get those demon faces that appear?
Uh-huh.
That's the type of face that I saw there for about just a second. And the thing is, I only saw it for a little bit, but my mother noticed. And she said, "Kevin, what's wrong?" And I looked again at the picture, and it was gone. There was nothing going on. And I said, "Nothing, nothing." And she said, the look of fear on my face must have been so friggin' apparent that she got sort of not angry, but she was like very adamant that, "What happened? What did you see?"
Yeah.
So I told her what I saw, and I laughed it off. I mean, I thought it was hilarious now, because there was nothing coming out of the picture. I mean, I thought, what the hell was that? But she said, okay. She said, no, don't be afraid, whatever, whatever. She was going off to bingo, and then, okay, fine. The thing is, she goes out to bingo, lo and behold, you know, whatever. The next morning, I awaken to my mother screaming, "Get out, get out, get out, get out." The door opening, and now I'm up, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to see who the hell is trying to break in or something. I get downstairs, she's thrown out the picture.
Huh.
The thing is, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm thinking, you're crazy, woman, what are you doing? I'm trying to get the picture, and she's like, you know, she's bawling her eyes out, going, "No, leave it, she said. That picture had fallen from the wall three times. This was the third time. Two times prior to, and fallen face down. The thing is, the picture was attached with a nail on the wall and a string that was attached from the picture frame. On all three occasions, the string hadn't broken, and the nail was still in the wall.
Oh, so that thing actually jumped off the nail?
Well, I can't explain it, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Dude, come on, I gotta go to sleep now. This is horrible. How much is it sleep tonight?
It's freaking me out.
Oh, my God. You had like a stigma. You're more paranormal than Animania, man.
Well, I haven't told that story in years and years and years. You are the first person to hear that story, probably 25 years, 20-some years.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about what I do as a paranormal investigator and a paranormal podcaster. I get to meet people and hear their stories, and it's just so much fun because you know what? The world has gotten a lot different than what it used to be. When you used to be a paranormal researcher and tell people about that, they look at you and say, "Oh, you're nuts." Now they look at you and go, "Oh yeah, I got a story. This happened when I was a kid." It's a lot more commonplace. It's actually quite interesting. Of course, if people want to hear more ghost stories, I'm hosting on Friday, the first night of Sci-Fi and the Rock, Dead Air, open mic ghost stories. You can come and tell that story if you want, Kevin.
I might.
That's if you're not too busy with Steve Lake.
That's true.
I know. Now, it is time to say goodbye, unfortunately, Kev, but I am going to go ahead and plug where people can find you. You can find Kevin at www.facebook.com/TheWolverineSt-Pierre Plumber. You can get him on Instagram, which is well worth it, folks. My God, he has the best pictures on his Instagram, trust me. If you're a Marvel fan, you're going to want to check these out. www.instagram.com/TheWolverineSt-Pierre Plumber. And, of course, if you want to follow him on Twitter, which I'm going to do right after this podcast, www.twitter.com/St-Pierre Plumber. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight was Mr. Kevin St. Pierre, a well-known cosplayer, but at heart, he's the Wolverine. And to say goodbye, Kevin, I would love for you to say, just give me your best Wolverine impersonation and say, "See you at the con."
See you at the con, bub.
There you go.
That's the best I got.
I'm going to see you on the 24th, buddy. Take care.
Very best. Thanks, John.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast, as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.